This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. With summer here, many people will be taking off on getaways to the beach to visit family. The Birmingham City Council has been traveling as well, although on the taxpayer dime. It's a pet peeve of Alabama Media Group columnist John Archibald, and while he's written about it through the years, he has new numbers that shows city councilors are still spending more on travel than many other cities. He joins us now, as he does most Thursdays. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
Well, let's break down your criticism of travel by the city council a little bit here. You know, with your latest numbers, how much is the city spending on travel for city council members and other employees?
Well, mayor staff and city council, that bunch has spent has been approved for travel of $139,000 so far this first 6 months of this year. Add $70,000 for the mayor himself, which is not approved by the council, and you come to $209,000 in 6 months, which is astronomical compared to many others.
Well, let's look at those other cities then. How does it compare to other cities around Alabama?
Well, you know, if you look at Montgomery and Mobile and Birmingham, which are all essentially the same, very similar populations, and Huntsville, throw in Huntsville, and Birmingham just dwarfs them all. One council member here spent more than the entire city of the mayor, staff, and council of Montgomery. It is in no way comparable if you look at Hoover. Hoover hasn't spent a dime on travel in the last 2 years. And that's, you know, you can say they're not the same size, but Hoover's 83,000 people. I mean, and it is it's stark.
You know how these conversations go. You know, city officials, city council members, they're quick to say, look, we get benefits from this travel. We get benefits when we go to conventions or meetings. You know, for instance, Councilman William Parker spent more than $17,000 on 19 trips, but a lot of them were working with the Environmental Protection Agency, which his district has a lot of pollution issues.
They were, and that's true. And in a way, I would give Parker a little more benefit of the doubt than anybody else. Even though he spent the most, he did go to useful, actual things he intended to bring back for the district. However, when you talk to people in the district, they say, where are the results? And those are really that's really the argument for all of these trips, because year after year after year, they go to these trips and we never see the result of them. In the corporate world and other government, you see a requirement that people come back and show some results for their trips, and that just doesn't happen.
Are there particular trips, in your view, that don't pass the smell test?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is a matter of priorities and policy. I mean, none of these trips that I can see are just flat-out junkets like you would see from the Birmingham Airport Authority to Marrakesh and Budapest and those sorts of things. I mean, there are conferences that some people will quibble about, some people will say are exclusionary, meetings for black elected officials, et cetera. I'm not that upset about that. It's the price tag and the policy, the priority of spending that bothers me.
Well, with that issue of priority, it does seem that there's an element of that in here that, you know, some cities might decide, well, we just want to eat bologna sandwiches, but for Birmingham, it's important to us. We want to spend the money for steak.
Yeah, do not forget that Birmingham is looking at a deficit right now. We're in the red. So if you want to eat steak when you can't pay your bills, maybe you need an intervention.
How do you see this issue of travel? How should it be treated?
Well, let's face it also. I mean, it's a changing world. It's a world of Skype. It's a world of conferencing and video conferencing and those sorts of things. I think we really need to reexamine what kind of travel is necessary in this world and question it a little bit. I mean, let's face it. We also sent, you know, what was it, 30 people to a retreat at the beach who could have met in our brand-new subsidized entertainment district.
Well, you mentioned the city budget, and in the midst of all that travel, the city council did manage to pass a budget for the next fiscal year, weeks before the July 1st deadline, in fact. It's a $393 million plan. It includes a 5% merit raise for police and fire employees. Also, though, includes $4 million in cuts and $4 million from a savings account. So, John, just overall, what's your impression of what the council's done with the budget?
Well, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it was sort of minor skirmishes that came out. I mean, there were a few complaints about the way they got from point A to point B, but I think inevitably, really, the five members of the council that sort of drive things right now, I think they had it set from the beginning. I don't want to say a done deal, but in the grand scheme of things, it was not the roughest road to a budget we've seen.
Well, councilors did talk about they're not going to approve additional spending outside of the budget, that this is a new day in Birmingham. Do you see that happening?
A new day. You know, I'm not going to hold my breath for that. It will depend, of course, on the importance of the issues that come before them. But any issue that comes before them will be talked about as quite important.
Well, Councilman Marcus Lundy also had his own thoughts on the budgeting process. He's saying he was making caviar out of chitterlings, suggesting that the cuts represented just taking the scraps and making the most of it. Are things really that lean?
I don't think they are that lean, but I actually take it as quite a good sign that there are several members of the council who are really trying to see it as lean, who are looking at it as lean and feel the need to be careful about it. In some years in the past, we haven't seen that. So I wouldn't say caviar now, but it's not tripe.
John Archibald's columnist for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his column each Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday in the Birmingham News, online anytime at al.com. John, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.